Hey guys, welcome to a Podawaric podcast on modding podfic communities and challenges. I'm Bessie Boo, and the podfic communities and challenges that I've modded are ITPE, or Informal Twitter Podfic Exchange, The Awesome Ladies Podfic Anthology, and which is an annual podfic anthology, and Theatropod.
Okay, hi, I'm Cantarina. You might hear me referred to as Karina through this as well. I've also modded ITPE. I'm Bess's co-mod. And some of the other stuff I've done has been WAGFAPE, the Women and Genderqueer First Podfic Exchange, which recently wrapped up, a whole bunch of stuff under the AudioFem umbrella. I did a... they were not exchanges, but one was Fem/Centric, one was Women plus Women-Centric, and another one was Supernatural-Centric. I've done Remo Podmo, which was a monthly podfic challenge in the style of NaNoWriMo. I think I did Awesome Ladies one year, too. And I'm
you
also,
did?
Yes.
Yeah.
I've participated in so much of that stuff. You must be awesome, because I never participate in stuff. Okay, hi. I'm KLB. I've done the Awesome Ladies podfic anthology. I co-mod pod together with Petica. I co-modded Theatropod with Bessie Boo. I actually took on the last 2 years of Amblerecathon, not by myself. But I didn't start that one. I just sort of took over for some people. And I'm really hoping to co-mod something in January with Petica called Podfitic, if she's still into it. It has an infinite diversity and infinite combinations. I'm very excited about it.
And I am Petica, and I have run some of these with co-mods, some of them on my own, for various years on and off. AI Podfic, which is an American Idol podfic announcement com and curator of American Idol podfic. The Critical Feedback Exchange, which only ran once, but it was the first podfic com that I ran. Multipodicity, formerly known as Pod Remix. Mm-hmm. Podaware, which is probably how you found this podcast.
Hey!
Pod Together. I run the Podfic Twitter account. And I also ran, it hasn't run the last 2 years, Podfic Bingo.
Let's start out on a positive note. What's your one, like, super awesome thing or thing that you, like, love the most about modding?
The thing that I love the most about modding is when you have kind of a vision for, like, a way that the community could change or, like, a type of fan work that could be created. And, you know, you put in all the work and all the time, and then at the end, suddenly reveals are happening and you're watching, like, yes, this co-created, you know, podfic experimental thing that's more amazing than you could have ever imagined. And you just know that, like, even though other people made it, it wouldn't be there if you hadn't also done your part. For me, that's, I love that part.
I'm slightly similar to that, where I'm kind of one of those people, if you want something done, do it yourself.
Yep.
I think we all are.
I mean, let's be real. That's kind of, like, why we're all here, because we're all that type of person, I think.
But, like, specifically relating to what KLB was saying of, like, you know, if there's something that you want to see in the community. I've been in podfic fandom for, like, and there's a lot of things where it's, like, I see this thing happening in the fandom that I wish was different. Repods or multipods weren't really a big thing, and, like, there's a lot of hurt feelings around it. So I'm, like, let's create a com, which was Multipodicity, where we encourage this and we can talk a little bit about why they're awesome and maybe people will stop feeling weird about it. And now years later, you see multipods happening all the time and you don't really see the hurt or the anger over it that I was seeing when I first started that com. So, you know, going out there and creating comms and seeing the change happen within the community is probably, like, my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I mean, I admire you so much for that change in particular to the podfic community, because yeah, it used to be this real matter of strife. And now you were just kind of like, well, let's just do it and see how it feels. And everyone tried it, you know, through your community. And everyone was like, oh, it feels fine. And it just like the strife around it disappeared. And it's just completely normal now. I love that.
The part that I love is similar to what KLB was saying is, every year when we distribute, gifts, particularly for ITPE, Karina and I sit on Skype together and we both just watch the ITPE mod account's Twitter feed, like the at replies and just like our feed and everybody who's participating who we have on our Twitter feed there. And we watch all of the like reactions come in as people like receive their DMs and they're like, oh my God, I got this thing. And it's just like the amount of joy that you can just see there is, and just knowing like, oh, we're about to send this person this gift. They're going to find out. And then like 3 minutes later, like a tweet shows up on our timeline. That's like, and it's just like so satisfying to see that reaction and that response in that way. That's like,
yeah, like we can get to the beginning of gift distribution and be completely and utterly burnt out.
Yeah.
And that will like take us back to full.
Yeah. It's really like, it's a hard time of year for both of us. And just like, distributing those gifts and seeing those reactions just like is so energizing. And that for me, like that feeling is like, that's what I'm there for, you know?
That dovetails us into a question. How does that differ between like a one-off, like ITPE or Pod Together, or not a one-off, but something that has a defined timeline versus yeah. something that's sustained year round?
The two comms that I run that are like year round comms, were Podfic Bingo, although that one was, I don't know if it's quite typical, but AI Podfic one. And it's got a really different feel for it. For one, it doesn't take near, like, it never drives me to the brink of, like, why am I doing this the way that my challenge comms do? I've never had a breakdown over it of, like, why I don't have to. I literally took the day off work today so that I could work on Podaware stuff. I've never had to do anything like that for American Idol Podfic.
Yeah.
And the satisfaction that I get out of that is more just seeing people use it, of knowing like I created a tool that people find useful. And actually Podfic Bingo is like that as well, where it's like I provide this tool in the form of a bingo card and you see people work at it and they use it to enhance their craft. That's where I always get the satisfaction of seeing people using these tools and being satisfied with it, as opposed to the huge uptick in creativity that I get in a very short period of time with a challenge one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That definitely makes sense to me as somebody who pretty much, so I actually have a long history of modding, and especially I used to mod a lot of like recurring like weekly challenges on LJ when I was much younger, because I ran a lot of icon tests, if anybody remembers those. What I have learned over the years is that I do not have the energy for marathon com running. I am a sprinter.
And that's so weird to me because I find the exact opposite. The like sprinting ones knock me out.
I think this is a really good point that like different people have different modding styles and amounts of energy for modding and modding in different like ways. Like I do not mod without a co-mod. I don't run anything myself because I know about myself that I need somebody to help hold me accountable and to like have them to fall back on in case like I am like, oh my God, I can't deal with this thing. Like, I need somebody there with me. I don't mod anything alone.
It's the same
I need
for
that
me,
too.
Except for the first round of Remo Podmo and I think the Supernatural Femme/Podfic project. I think everything I've done since then has been with various co-mods because I'm not as good. I can't cover everything. I can't see everything on my own.
I need someone to tell me when I'm being too intense. That's really helpful. And I also need somebody like, I learned in one modding occasion a lot about, you know, how you really have to maintain like a calm public face no matter what happens.
There's this one screen cap that we have from ITPE last year. It so perfectly encapsulates this concept. Basically what it is it's a screen cap that shows alternating tweets on a Twitter timeline between my personal account and the ITPE mod account, which Karina is tweeting from. And so, like, my personal account, like, it's my personal Twitter account, but the mod account is, like, the public face of ITPE. And it's alternating tweets.
Hey, folks. We've apparently hit the daily limit for DMs. We'll continue sending out assignments as soon as we're able to.
What if I stab Twitter's daily DM limit in the face? Hashtag ITPE.
Sorry if you're still eating. We'd love to give you info, but Twitter's just not working with us.
I mean, like, there's a daily Twitter DM limit? What the ever-loving fuck? It's really only 250 messages? ? Hashtag fuck you, Twitter. So, this exchange, to me, really sums up the, like, the process of, like, these are the feelings I'm having while I'm modding versus the public face that we put out.
Going back to what brought this on, where you're talking about the different, you're all like, I always want to co-mod when I'm running things. I kind of feel a little bit like the mod out on this, because I've run things with co-mods. I've run things on my own. And, you know, sometimes the co-modding experience has been pod together that I run with KLB is probably the most positive experience I've had with co-mods, Podfic Bingo being the secondary one.
Wait. Can I clarify that one time we didn't speak for like 2 days and we're furious at each other during that?
Yes.
So I want to set the bar of the most, and I agree, most pod, like best co-mod experience of my life. Like, it's beautiful, but it's hard. It is hard.
Bess and I complement each other beautifully. We're different in a lot of the right ways, but we've had some fights.
Yeah, no, we definitely, like, I mean, you know, I'm a Slytherin, and I'm not a nice person. And sometimes I want to be a little more, like, publicly mean than Cantorina is comfortable being. And that, like, we have had arguments and fights about that before, definitely.
Kaylee mentioned we spent like 2 days not talking to each other. That was our first fight, and we learned so much from it. We're like,
oh,
okay,
my God.
We need to now, like, not. Like,
I knew what set her off from then on, and every time we got close to it, because after we both calmed down, we explained it. And I was like, here's why I was so upset. And she was like, here's why I was so upset. And we've both been so good to each other since then, because we know how to phrase stuff, how to get through stuff.
And so, and like, yeah, we've known, like, there have been times where, like, part of the problem that happened that first time is we were butting heads and KLB kept being like, but I want this. And I was having like a panic situation and I was like trying to back out and we were still having that conversation. And so now we've gotten to one, we know which things are more likely to cause a panic. And two, like, it's been much more okay when I've been like, okay, I'm having some feelings. I need to walk away and process this.
And or, I'm like, bye, see you later. You know, like, and she comes to me. I know she'll come to me when she's ready to talk.
And like, you know, I acted horribly there because I was in a panic. I was like an angry cat scratching at you and like trying to explain in the most horrible way that like, this is hurtful to me and I don't know why. And so I'm just going to blindly hurt you back. So that's why it was like 2 days of not talking to each other where we're like, are we even going to be friends at the end of this? But,
it was really sad.
Once we learned, we've been so much more respectful around each other.
And but that was like 4 years ago. Like, so it's not like that was yesterday and everything's been great since that. It actually was one of the most helpful things that's ever happened to us.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, I've run other comms with people and Podfic comms and non-Podfic cons alike, where I'm very good at being a visionary of like, this is what I want to happen. And I think sometimes that can put me in a weird situation where it's like, I'm the one in control and everyone else kind of sees themselves as minions. And, and like you and I had a conversation about that KLB once where you're like, I feel like I can't step on your toes. And one of the things that I appreciate about our co-modding is that you don't sit back and let me run everything. There's been other ones where it's like, I'm in charge and everyone just does what I says. And that's not an equal relationship. And I don't find those as useful. It's almost like, let me just be on my own.
I look for that in a co-mod now too. I look for someone who'll push me back because a lot of the stuff I've modded has been my idea to start with. And then I'm like, hey, you want to co-mod this with me? But I don't want them to feel like it's still mine. I want it to be ours.
other situations where, like, I had visionary issues and I've been like, please go away. Like, this happened with a fic archive that I tried multiple times to get off the ground and it never happened because this one person kept volunteering as mods and we just had like fundamental differences of opinions and it was like, we couldn't work together. So it was like, I just wanted them to go away. That's why I like stopped the project and started again. And
I definitely, for a lot of these reasons, I do feel pretty strongly about like, I have to know the people that I'm co-modding with and the better I know them, the better it is. If I'm becoming friends with somebody or getting to know them or whatever, then like that's fine because that's just like a social situation and if something bad happens we can both like walk away. If I'm co-modding with somebody and I don't know them very well and we clash on something and it's bad, there's like ramifications for people outside of me. There's ramifications for like the participants and the future of like the challenge, which now at that point, usually like other people are invested in. And I feel strongly like I don't want to ruin that for anybody else by.
And we saw that happen with Extreme Big Bang, where Rose was running the podfic side of it. And then there was another mod that was being the main mod of everything else. And like that mod basically decided that they didn't want podfic anymore. And EOS is like, that's my job. Like, and the other mod was like, well, it's too much work for me. And she's like, but I do it all. There were a lot of, like, considering most of the works that came out of that was podfic, I think EOS was quite in her rights to be annoyed about that. But the mod was just not willing to work with her.
I think that also speaks to how you have to, all of the, like, going back to the original earlier point, you really have to keep under wraps all of the strife that might happen between mods, all of the stress and negative feelings, because those are can have such a big impact on the participants of the challenge.
I've seen a lot of people, especially in podfic community, who've had interactions with mods that just left it being like so disenfranchised or being like, wow, that was a really shitty interaction. Especially like a lot of podficers are approaching mods being like, can podfic be included in your challenge? Yeah. And the reaction that you get from someone can be really make a podficker feel really shitty. Or like I've seen some people that just like, hey, I want this to exist, but no thought into it. And then the structure of it ends up being really unworkable for people, or they're super casual. And when people try and bring this up, the mod doesn't handle it in a way and people end up leaving it hurt.
Do we want to talk about or things that we've tried to run that have failed?
Theatropod is mine that, I mean, it didn't fail in that there were some successful works out of it, but it didn't hit my vision. It had way, way more problems than I thought. And in the end, like, I wish I had never done it because I feel like there were more disappointments and hurt feelings than there were positive experiences, even though there were both. And I think two things that I learned from it. One is that when you're doing something collaborative, it's important that it not be something where a lot of people are dependent on one person. Mm-hmm. In that situation, I almost put the directors into the role of mod in a way, but I think they weren't really, didn't know sort of what that would be like or the pressure. Or
do you maybe want to explain a little about like what was?
Here's the way Theatropod worked, and Bess and I started it, but we were both really into it because we're both really excited about theater.
Yeah.
And about the connections between podfic and theatrical, you know, productions. Yeah. And the idea was to have a podfic challenge where it was as similar to theater as possible. So one person would sign up as a director, and they would choose a story that they wanted to have collaboratively podficked by a cast, basically.
Basically, they chose a story that they wanted to essentially like turn into like a full cast script, basically.
And then cast performers, cast podfickers as the performers or as the different roles, I guess I should say. And then have rehearsals, a schedule of rehearsals on Skype. And give them direction, and then have a live performance that was recorded all together. And that live in the moment performance would be what got edited into the final product. So there were a lot of connections to actually like live stage theater that Podfic doesn't always have. That's how it went. I think the people who signed up for director didn't really understand like how big a deal the role was going to be.
I have to say the thing that surprised me most about Theatropod was I was a little taken aback by how negative the community reaction was to the idea of having something with auditions.
But it was helpful to know for future, but we didn't anticipate that.
Yeah, no, we didn't anticipate that at all. I don't know if we could have anticipated that.
I could have told you to expect that. Like, you get, especially when you have situations where podfickers ask for permission to podfic and authors come back and be like, send me a sample of your work first, and the insecurities that that brings about, I could have told you that there was going to be some people nervous around auditions.
I think we thought people might be nervous, but we didn't realize how upset they would feel.
Right.
I guess because podfic is their art. I think we thought, well, this is something different from podfic. So we're not saying you can't do your podfic. We're saying if you want to do this different thing, then this is an audition thing. And we thought that separation would be clear, but it wasn't. It didn't feel good to people. And then I felt really bad for hurting people's feelings.
And I know like the way some of the directors handled it was not really either or. So it got weird.
The thing was that there was this weird thing where the directors had a lot of the control and yet there was still a mod. And like, so the mods were sort of like, we're doing things like this, this, and this. And the directors kind of, some of them wanted to do their own thing. And we hadn't really accounted for that.
Ultimately, I think what broke down a lot of Theatropod was too much interpersonal conflict. Like, I think we just hadn't anticipated that it would be like the people wrangling on that scope, and it ended up like being a lot of breakdowns in communication on a lot of different levels, and that was really hard to deal with at times.
Can I talk about a com or a challenge that failed even though it ran exactly like it was supposed to?
Sure. That'd be really interesting.
I kind of feel that's what Remo Podmo, which is short for Record More Podfic Month, became. It's not exactly quite what I intended when I started it. When I started it, it was just supposed to be me copying Mini NaNoWriMo, which is basically commit to a minimum of 100 words a day for the month of November. And I thought, I'll do that for Podfic. And then I mentioned it to a couple of people at WinCon, and it ended up becoming a group thing. And it started on LiveJournal. This was back in 2010. I'd originally intended that, you know, the daily posts would go up, and everyone would check in, and that would be the end of it. But it ended up turning into this really social thing, which was really great. And really, I think it worked better for everyone that way. And so far as I know, the challenge for the people who signed up, the challenge has always worked well for the participants. So far as I can tell, no one's walked away from it going with, you know, with any upset feelings. You know, maybe bummed that they had to drop out because life happened. But
you were really good about dropouts. Like, you didn't make anyone feel bad about it.
No, it was just you dropped dead, or if you missed a day, we didn't care. We were just like, you know, this is here for it to help you. If it's making you feel guilty in the bad way, that's not helping anyone.
I kind of felt that calm was about like a personal challenge with a little bit of like encouragement. You wouldn't get in trouble if you missed your day.
No.
But everyone would be there encouraging you if you did make your day.
But the problem with the policy that everybody got encouragement is that it put a lot of pressure on the mods, because we had to make sure that everybody got a comment. And some years, well, it was actually biannual for a long time. Sometimes the participants would be really good about that. And other times it put all the strain on us, because on top of doing daily check-in posts and keeping on top of all of that, you know, daily minutia, we had to engage every single day as well.
Oh.
And I've co-modded with I think, at the top of my head, at least three other people this challenge. Annalisa Ten ran it one year on her own, I think. I don't remember whether she had a co-mod or not. But we've all walked away from it just exhausted. And we've never been able to find a way to make it sustainable for the moderators.
All of the comms that I've run that have failed are generally have to do with the scope of the vision of the comms, where I think bigger than I can handle.
Yeah.
Looking at my list of failed comms, I see four of them, five of you count amp support. The first one I have on the list is Fantails, which was the kind of like a comm to get interest and share news on the idea of running a PodFitCon. I still really want that to happen, but like the energy levels that I had to put into it and wrangling other people. And again, a little bit of like, I think because I started it, a lot of people were looking to me to do everything. And I was like the least experienced con runner in that group that it kind of fell apart.
I assume some people listening to this have never modded a challenge. Modding a challenge is really different than planning an event.
Huh. Yeah. So different.
Well, and that one, like, money was a big aspect in it, too, because I didn't want to have, like, a that Tumblr con, whatever, the ball pit one.
Dash con.
I didn't want a dash con to happen. So I was like, except whatever dash we put in there, I have to be able to cover out of my pocket if this all fails through or no one ends up paying for anything. So like that was going to be a really big influence. And when I was going back to school to be a student, I did not have that money.
Yeah, I also remember that like I think the con com on that was originally going to be me, you, Padaka. You were on it, right, Karina?
Yeah.
And Revolutionary Joe. Yeah. And I was like, oh, yeah, I'll totally do, like, money stuff. I can definitely, like, run that through. And then, like, I now know so much more about the legal aspect of, like, running an event, like, that's, like, a con. Insurance you have to get and paperwork that has to be filed and stuff that, like, I'm not sure any of us had any idea about, like, when we first started, like, talking pie in the sky about it. And now I'm just like, oh, man, we're probably all in, like, better places to do it now. But, like, we had no idea what we were doing.
Yeah. So that one was a big one that, like, the scope was just too big and the timing turned out to be wrong.
Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm going to interrupt and segue us into talking about modding across different platforms.
One of the big changes that Pod Together had to make was, we didn't start out having a Tumblr presence. Now that presence is more and more important every year. It's very important to me because my fandom, Glee, is mostly a Tumblr-based fandom. So I feel like, you know, we have to have it there. But also, people were missing information this year that they've never missed before because people were not reading the Dreamwidth anymore. And so
even though we were cross-posting everywhere,
cross-posted everywhere, but I think the Twitter way platforms are,
Twitter
people
and
don't
Tumblr
read their whole Twitter and Tumblr. Many of them don't. And without reading the Dreamwidth, people were missing it. And we've decided that we're going to have, as a way to address that, maybe an opt-in, get emailed all the reminder, like all the big announcement reminders, like when a deadline's coming, how to do posting and stuff. It'll be like five to seven emails, but people would come back being like, I had no clue
when we'd
been posting like repeatedly about a deadline coming up. Yeah, because of the way platforms are, there's nothing necessarily that you constantly read unless it's directed at you, like at reply to.
Yeah, and the struggle, Twitter and Tumblr are very transient. If you don't see it when it happens, you're going to miss it.
Part of WagFape's struggle, which was the Women and Genderqueer First Podfic Exchange, is that we ran it concurrently on Tumblr and Twitter. But the issue is that both of us were Twitter users who kind of sort of have Tumblr, but don't really know how to use it.
It's really interesting how different people interact with different platforms. And we saw, so for the first time, I think this year, we actually advertised ITPE on...
We had a post last year, too.
I feel like we didn't get as many signups off that post last year as we did this year. Because there were people who came in who, like, signed up, who I was like, oh, you clearly came from the Tumblr post. And, like, I think it's really great that we're reaching a different audience. And that's super cool. But it's just really interesting how, like, as the years go on, the fanish drift is sort of reflected.
Although I do find it interesting, too, because I see non-podfic comms that I'll see advertised on Tumblr that are brand new comms and look like they're new names to me. I don't know how old they are, how long they've been in fandom. But I do see a lot of like, okay, this is the Tumblr, but go to the Dreamwidth or the LiveJournal for the actual stuff. Because Tumblr is just not great for that. And what people are using most these days are Tumblr, Twitter, and AO3. And AO3 has some options for running comms. Like, I always, like, we use AO3 for Pod Together. I always put the complete rules and stuff up on there, but I don't think anyone's finding it through AO3.
I do want to quickly register. I've seen really amazing challenges run through Tumblr, and I've seen really great interpersonal interaction happen there. And I know that's partly just because we have different fandoms. Yeah. And very different Tumblr experiences.
I think there is actually and KLB, you may be tapped into this, but I think there's a whole other PodFit community on Tumblr that the rest of us don't necessarily connect with regularly.
I love PodFit Tumblr because a lot of the people there are sort of discovering stuff for the first time, and there's like a sense of creativity. You know, someone recently created an IRC chat room for editing yes. PodFit in. And, you know, that has not super caught on. They kind of used it while they were editing the thing they were on and then walked away from it. So it's not, I think I would love for there to be an ongoing PodFic chat, but I think it would have to be maintained by like almost the schedule of moderators. So someone was always there, because the second you go into an empty chat room, I feel like it's over for an ongoing chat. That would be really fun if someone wants to do that. I would go to that chat every day. I would edit so much more PodFic than normal just to be in that chat. But I think it's all about timing in chats, and that's not something we're used to having to pay attention to. And I think that's where they fall down.
Going back to what we were talking about with Tumblr, and I think part of the issue is Tumblr is such a paradigm shift, and people are still trying to run comms in the old school manner. And it doesn't fit well on some of the newer platforms, that you have to try and do something completely different. Like ITPE is something, you know, pretty different than how it would have been run on a live journal.
I have to say, basically, it's not. Twitter is possibly the worst possible platform to actually run a fandom challenge off of. Like, the reason that it happened on Twitter is basically because somebody was like, you couldn't possibly do that, could you? And I was on Twitter and I was like, challenge accepted.
Yep.
So the reason that ITPE is run on Twitter is like at least 60% just my stubbornness.
It would be easier if we moved large parts of it to other platforms. And people have suggested that. And we're just like, no, this is Twitter.
It's in the name.
I've seen people trying to run fest to encourage a certain thing, like, you know, your women first fest that you did, Cantarina, or like I signed up for Marvel People of Color Exchange that accepted PodFic. And, you know, it was advertised on Tumblr, but then run on LiveJournal. Whereas like things that I've seen run more successfully on Tumblr was like, okay, we want to increase this rather than have like an exchange. We're just going to have a week. And there's this tag that everyone's going to use. And you just post whatever you want under that tag. And then the mod account just goes around and reblogs it. So everyone can see the things that were created. You get it shared. And it increases visibility for whatever thing that you were trying to increase visibility on. But it's super casual. They did a Clint Natasha week like that on Tumblr.
Yeah, and they recently had a Braden Appreciation Week for Teen Wolf, which was great.
People often continue using that tag afterwards, so it can become a bit of a community of people who regularly check that specific tag.
I think that the thing I want to say about Tumblr Podfickers is I'm really excited because I feel like a lot of Podfic fandom early on sort of found each other, you know? And so a lot of people who have been in PodFic fandom have known each other, have kind of learned from each other, kind of the way things are, the way we do stuff around here or whatever. And I love people coming up in Tumblr a lot of times, not knowing any other PodFickers necessarily, but I still can see their posts because they'll tag it PodFic, you know, and seeing them kind of make up everything new. And I think that's going to happen with some Tumblr run challenges eventually, to bring it back to modding. People from more old school PodFic fandom don't feel as comfortable there, which leaves the field more open for new people to come in and reinvent.
So one of the things that I wanted to talk about transitioning a little bit was some difficulties that I've had with modding is when you get into a challenge or somebody gets into a challenge and it's not what they think it is, and you end up with somebody trying to backseat mod.
So there's a very fine line to walk between feedback to the mods and suggestions to the mods. And there is a point where it starts to cross over into what we're calling backseat modding, where we feel like you're kind of trying to change the nature of the challenge.
Yeah. There have been incidents where somebody size up for a challenge and they're like, oh, I see this thing, but this is not how I would run this challenge. And so I'm to contact the mods and be like, can you do this thing this way? And the mods will either be like, that's a great suggestion, yes. Or they'll be like, no, we'd really prefer not to. That's not what this challenge is about.
There's this balance always. When you run a comm, when you put in the energy to mod a comm or a challenge, it's because you have a strong vision. Hopefully you have a co-mod, and hopefully that co-mod shares your strong vision, which makes things easier. But also, you're just one or two sets of brains and perspectives, so feedback in can be incredibly helpful. I think there's often a processing moment, and it's really nice to have a co-mod when someone's like, this thing is feels massively wrong to me about the project. And you have to process, be like, can I keep my vision and still like and make it better for this person and all the other people who are probably just like them silently. So I think it's really important, because this is a really like sometimes emotionally difficult part of modding, to still every single time say, okay, let's rehash this again, you know, let's talk through it again and see if there is any ground that we can give, or if it really is as important as we thought it was, or if in year four, it's still as important as it was in year one, you know?
So you wanted to talk about something, KLB, yeah?
Yeah, so I just wanted to sort of like, I think there's really interesting stuff that you learn, the sort of like things you wish you'd known when you started modding, or like things that you think would surprise people. So I just kind of wanted to talk about some of those. I mean, for one, I had no idea before I started modding. I had no like felt sense of like how tumultuous life is if you get like a mass of people involved. So every year at Pod Together, every year someone is hospitalized. Every year there's like, or almost every year, there's like at least one person who drops off of the map of fandom. Every year there's people saying, you know, I had a death in the family. I had like all sorts of emergencies that come up out of nowhere. And I just think it's so interesting, because when you're one person, like, yeah, stuff happens that's unexpected. I think it really makes you understanding, though, of like, why you have to make the rules as flexible as possible and be as kind and gentle as possible, because like you so extremely never know the shit that people are going through. That's always true. You know, the sort of like be kind. Yeah. It's fighting a battle you know nothing about or something like that. That, but like really seeing it, because you're the person that they have to tell, because as the mod, they have to let you know, making me need to leave the challenge or making me need to have this extension. It just makes you so aware of how much is going on in the lives of people in fandom all the time.
And I see that like participants can sometimes get frustrated with the padding that mods put in, where it's like, I handed this in 3 weeks ago. Why hasn't posting started? But like, this is the stuff behind the scenes that mods are dealing with.
With ITPE, actually, it's sort of hilariously reversed, where we've actually, you know, knock on wood, have never had more than one pinch hit per year so far, I think.
I think it's two last year. But the point is the rate is really, really low.
The rate is like weirdly low for ITPE. All of the crises seem to happen to the mods while we are trying to mod.
Another thing that's really interesting that I've learned, or am sort of constantly in the learning process of, is how signing up for completing, failing to complete, or needing to drop out of projects interacts with people's anxieties in different ways, and how as a mod you can help with that. So, you know, I used to give extension after extension, feeling like that was the kindest thing that I could do. And I finally learned, when it was a couple really close friends of mine who were getting more and more anxious, and they kept asking for extensions because they really didn't want to drop out, that for some people, it's such a huge relief to them if you can say, if you don't get it to me before this date, it's an automatic dropout. Because then like the moment passes and they know, and they never had to drop out themselves, you know, they never had to give up exactly, it just sort of timed out for them. So now I set up an automatic, like, it will time out at this time, and I'll do anything I can to help you. And some people even still will, like, not respond, not speak to me, not email back or anything for like the 2 weeks leading up. And the second the deadline is passed and I'm like, okay, now you're dropped out, I'm getting a pinch hit, your partner's fine, don't worry about anything, they email back being like, thank you so much. And I would never have guessed that before modding.
On the flip side of that, as somebody who has asked for an extension every single pod together, that drop dead deadline, if you are a person who absolutely, like, needs to finish that project, and it would be terrible if you didn't, like, finish and post that project as part of pod together, that drop dead deadline means that you will do whatever it takes to make that happen.
This is the first year that I did that as a matter of policy. I did that for a couple individuals last year, and when I saw how much it helped them, I instituted it as a policy, and it was really nice for stress.
It also helps with, like, the mod stress. Yeah. One thing I'd like to say, when we were talking about, like, stuff you've learned from modding, I can also be super flexible on other things. And sometimes people find that hard. Podfic Bingo, I was like, however you want to interpret that square, you can do it however you want. Like, Fire Juggler had the deadpan square. And she's like, I suck at reading deadpan, I can't do it. So she had someone write her a fic titled Deadpan. And that's how she filled that square. And, like, for some people that was really great. And other people are like, I can't deal with this, I need more guidelines, I don't even know where to start with this. And so sometimes being too open and too free spirited can be stressful in ways that I didn't anticipate.
To the participants?
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember people asking a lot of questions on that call about, like, what does this square mean? What does this square mean? And you were like, you can interpret it however you want. And people continued to, like, ask questions.
What I would generally do when someone asks, I'd be like, you can interpret it however you want. The original intent behind it was this. And then I would generally link to where people had discussed that square.
Which I think is a nice way to do it, where you're like, here's structure if you want structure, and also you're not held to the structure. When you can, that's nice.
So one thing we brought up earlier with, like, recommendations for if you're looking to mod and haven't before or whatever, GDocs. GDocs are your friend. GDocs are your best friend.
This year when we were setting things up, we had the foresight last year to make, like, a GDoc of, like, these are the things we need to change next year. And it was so beautiful. Yep. The other times we've been like, what were we wanting to change? And then we'd forget. And then we'd be like, oh, this is what we wanted to change.
You basically just described the ITP learning curve.
Yeah.
Documenting the challenge throughout it for yourself the next year. Guys, document your process in GDocs. It is the best thing you can do.
It's incredibly helpful. And when you come up on something and you're like, oh, I should have thought of that, the process of just writing it down for the, like, potential changes for next year sheet, it kind of takes away some of the, like, frustration of not having thought of it now, because you're like, I immediately see how I'm making my challenge better by having had this problem, because I won't forget. I will make a change.
Especially if you're doing something where you're matching people up. But, like, if there's two people that don't get along, you do not want to match them together. And I will forget every time if it is not written down. Luckily, that's KLB's job.
Padaka and I, we make a specific Gmail account for that. So then we have a shared Gmail that stuff can go through. And then we also can use the Google Drive from that for spreadsheets that we can work on together for our, like, changes for next time list or drafts for stuff. And that way we don't have to email almost anything back and forth. It's all already there, and you can edit it in real time together if you want.
And you have one definitive copy.
Yes.
Not
exactly.
Six different emails in different stages of processing.
Right. You never lose it. You know exactly where it is, and it's the most updated version.
Although we did discover that if you are editing an email draft, it does not work like GDocs does. You will overwrite each other and you will lose it.
Oh, God.
Yeah, we did learn that. Now we know.
Something that I find really helpful in matching-based exchanges, if you're doing hand matching, and especially if you have a large group, but even if you have only a small group, go through and figure out who's going to be hard to match. which is harder to do when you're newer to matching, but it's things like people who only want one or two fandoms, people who don't want any major fandoms, or people who really only just want kinky porn. It's the people who are really specific about what they want that you want to match first. Because if you get to the end and you've got only that person left, you're going to be like, oh, crap, I should have done this sooner. And then you're going to have to undo matches.
Yeah, and that always feels shitty when you're like, shit, that was a good match. And you have to, like, undo it in order to work the other person in. Yeah, one thing, too, when you're matching people, as we've learned over the years, looking not just at, like, fandoms, but if you're willing to get down to this level, which we always do with ITPE, tropes and like character preferences and stuff like that.
And make sure if you know that whatever you need to match on, make sure that the participants give it to you. Like when I was doing multipodicity, I was hand matching everyone. I had like giant spreadsheets that I was working on and like a numbering system. It was ridiculous where I was like trying to match people on the most available podfix. So if, you know, someone had done 10 podfics and someone else could like conceivably want to repod 9 of those, like that was a high matching thing. But I was asking people in the signups of like, you need to list all of the fandoms that you're in. And a lot of people are like, I've been in a lot. Here's my audiofic archive link. And that was so useless to me. I would have to go through.
And, you know, are you feeling remorse, Bess?
Some people.
She did that to us the first year of Pod Together. She was like, these 300 fandoms are fine.
I was the worst.
And then we actually matched her based on one of those, and she was like, no, actually, that was a bad fandom for me.
When we ran WagFape this year, it was its first year, but I think we're going to do it again. We made Dear Podficker letters mandatory.
Let me clarify that it's not the only way. I do not hand match for Pod Together.
Hand matching is a little bit of... It's kind of an art, and I think we can give you a lot of general tips for it, but
like when you've got like multi-fandom matching happening, sometimes it can just be easier to not hand match, get a program that can do it. And then like KLB does, I believe, is like she has the program match it and then she eyeballs it all and like makes hand matches if she sees anything that doesn't look right.
So I was lucky enough to have someone write me a program specifically for it, because I happen to have some pull with a programmer. It has, you can lock matches or you can block matches. So if it matches them, but you know those two people because of their comments, one was like, I will only do male-male, and the other one is like, I only want female-centered projects. You like block that one, you know, for stuff like that. Or if you just like these people would love working together, you can lock them in manually. And so I go through and I do a lot of tweaking, but I always have a starting place and I always know there's not going to be anybody left unmatched.
Kind of another big point that I think we should talk about is if you're running a con that isn't Podfic specific, but you'd like to include Podfic, because I feel like as Podfic fandom grows, we're moving away from Podfic specific things and more Podficers want to participate in their fandom specific comms. If you're not someone who listens to Podfic, to know where to start to add it. And I think my biggest suggestion is don't be afraid to ask a Podficker. If like a lot of the times, it's a Podficker.
Or if you don't know one personally, find someone who knows someone and ask for an introduction.
A lot of the times when this comes up, it's a podficker coming up to a mod being like, hey, I'd like to participate, but I'd like to make podfic. Don't be afraid to go back to that person and be like, hey, how would you like to be included then? Because I've gone and done that and had mod come back and be like, no, you couldn't work. Podfic wouldn't work in this case because of extra reasons. And I'll be like, but actually, that's not how most podfickers would want it to be run anyways. And so like they just make assumptions that if you can go and ask the person, if this person's asking to be involved, they probably have a way of including themselves.
Don't assume the cultural norms for fic are the same as for podfic.
Exactly. Yeah. Amplificathon is still a pretty watched community, even if it's not as active as it used to be. If you go there and post a question, people will, or Podfic Tips or any of those places, people will step up to help, like for sure. And like Podfickers want to be included.
one thing I'd also put out there, if you're trying to figure out like how to include podfic and minimums and stuff like that, I think it's generally fair to say that whatever you're doing is the fic minimums. It should be fine for podfic. Like, most podficers work in word count when they're signing up for things, not minute count, because minute counts fluctuate so much.
Right. I mean, they even fluctuate from podfic to podfic by the same podficker, and they fluctuate, like, hugely from person to person. So, yeah, like, podfickers do work in word counts, so just, like, word count. And this is a thing, too, where a lot of the successful fan works or fan challenges have been, like, multimedia challenges and exchanges and stuff, have brought in, like, a podfic-specific mod. Mm. There are a lot of people in the podfic community who are probably willing to step up in that position. In conclusion, if you are a mod of a larger fan work challenge that you would like to include podfic in, here are your tips. Talk to a podficker, talk to a podficker, talk to a podficker. It can be the person who requested to have podfic included. It can be somebody you know. It can be, if you don't have any contacts or don't know anybody, at Reply Podfic on Twitter, and Padaka will hook you
up. If you don't have a Twitter account, my email is padakaproductions@gmail.com. I am seriously willing to do this for you.
My biggest thing is, if you want to run a com, go for it. Like, it can be scary. It can be a lot of work. But just try it. And a lot of the time, your first run is going to be small scale. And so you have room to make mistakes, and that's okay. Feel free to ask the people around you that have run comms. There's going to be some mods that don't have the time to talk to you, but a lot of them will make the time if you ask. Talk to your potential participants, too, if you're not sure, before you get everything hammered out. Find a good friend or other people that participate in comms and be like, does that look reasonable? And, like, there's always going to be resources. And certainly, if it's a podfic-related comm, posting to places like Podfic Tips or Amplificathon, or, like I said, tweeting me at Podfic, you can get feedback before you get started, and people are going to be willing to help.
Yeah, I would say if you want to run a podfic challenge, know that it is in equal measures incredibly rewarding and incredibly frustrating. There will always be problems you can't anticipate, no matter how well you plan. You've just got to deal with them as best you can and as patiently as you can. Be patient with yourself. Like, shit's going to happen. Yes. And don't be afraid to ask for help.
And warning, it can be addictive. Yep. You end up like me running too many.
Yep, legit.
You know, at the end of the day, modding is, there's some people who were not cut out for modding. And if you know that about yourself, that's okay. And if you don't know that about yourself and you try and mod something and you're like, whoa, this is not for me, that's okay too. And even if you love it and you feel like you're really good at it, but like it's too stressful or if it's just too much, don't overextend yourself. Get a co-mod if you need one. Get 3 co-mods if you need them. You know, get
a rotating team of co-mods.
Yeah. You know, ask for help if you need it. I have signed up to mod things and be on like the management team for Fanish projects that, because I just loved them so much and I wanted to be involved, and I realized after the fact that, like, I was overextending myself and I probably shouldn't do it, but now, like, oh god, I'm too far in to get out. Know your own limitations and know what you can and can't do. And I think that is, to me, one of the most important things as a mod, knowing your own limitations and what...
There's nothing worse than running something half-assed. Can't run it and do it justice. Sometimes it's better not to run it at all.
But yeah, so it's okay to say no to things. Don't overextend yourself. If it is causing you stress, like to the point where you feel like you're not getting more out of it than it is taking from you, it's okay to step down and step back and say, I can't do this right now. At the end of the day, I guess my final thoughts are, modding is hard. Take care of you.
There's a few really amazing reasons to mod a com. One is you can really affect the landscape of fandom And I think most of our comms have come from like really like sort of conceptual meta ideas. Like, I feel like Twitter is important and I want to highlight the ways that it can work for fandom, or, you know, I feel like repotting is important. So that's one amazing reason, because you can really change the landscape that you're in. You can change the shape of the community you're in and what feels possible to people. And another amazing thing is that it can really affect the participants in really cool ways. You know, people who have great experiences because of the challenges, it's so amazing to know that you've helped them create a fan work that maybe they wouldn't have created without the structure or without the support, and that they're really proud of. And so I think when you do it, you want to balance both of those things. You want to know that, like, just like keeping your heart through the hard times, how passionate you are about the idea, and keeping your heart through the hard times, how passionate you are about the participants. And if you keep those as your top priorities, even when stuff feels frustrating and difficult, then like that'll carry you through.
Well, thank you guys so much for listening to our thoughts on Podfic community and challenge modding. This has been Bessie Boo with Paraka and Cantarina and KLB. We hope you liked it.